The Bible says that Christ is the true image of God. Every attribute of God you can find in Christ. In fact, Jesus says, whoever has seen Him also has seen God. Whoever has experienced Him also has experienced God. Whoever has known Him personally also has known God personally. We are called to imitate the same Christ in every aspect. In our thinking patterns, in our perspectives, and even words and actions. We are called to grow into Him image every single day, day in, day out. No one Christian should ever stop growing. Imagine this, baby is born, and for the next 6 months, the baby grows, leaps and bounds, gain weights and whatnot. Can you imagine baby stops growing? It should be a great concern to the parents. Same way, if any Christian should stop growing, and it should be a great concern to our heavenly parent. It is God's will for us to partake in Christ's image and character to its fullness. God expects us to grow every day, and in fact, God already sees us fully grown into Christ's image. Like any other great coach in sports, they envisioning the championship of his players, even before the season starts, God already sees us fully grown into Christ's character. Last Sunday we talked about number one, Christ's attributes, which is love. Christ commands us to love one another as he has loved us both unconditionally and sacrificially. By this love, Christ says, people in the world will know that we are His disciples. And today we are going to think about the second attribute of Christ, humility. There was a pastor who was voted by his congregation the most humble pastor in America. They recognized him during service one Sunday and presented him a medal, which says, to the most humble pastor in America. On the following Sunday, in appreciation of what the congregation had done, the pastor wore that medal around his neck. Well, as soon as the congregation saw it, they were shocked, and they took the medal away from him, saying that such an act of boasting automatically disqualified him. Just whatever you do, don't give me that medal. I'm very tempted to wear it. It is my sincere and prayer and hope that we all learn about Christ's humility today and start living it out in our lives. So what is humility? Humility is one of the Christian virtues, along with others, such as compassion, kindness, meekness and patience, mercy, love, joy, peace and gentleness, and faithfulness and self-control. Humility, the Bible says, is the work of the Holy Spirit. In other words, no matter how hard you and I try, our own efforts will never make us humble. And God must help us in that. We become only humble when we seek God, and we become humble when we obey God's truth and His will. The end result is peace and joy in Christ. So what is humility? There could be so many definitions available. So let me begin with one definition I found in the dictionary, Oxford English Dictionary, which says, humility is, I quote, the quality of not thinking that you are better than other people. The quality of not thinking that you are better than other people. I think it's very close to what I'm thinking. Actually, I believe whoever wrote this definition borrowed the idea, almost verbatim, word for word, from the Bible. particularly from today's text, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, which says, "With humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves." Of course, the opposite of humility is arrogance or pride. I looked up the definition of arrogance one more time in the same dictionary. It says arrogance, I quote, is the behavior of a person when they feel that they are more important than other people, so that they are rude to them or do not consider them. That makes sense. Did you also know that arrogance is one of the vices, not so good virtues, listed in the Bible, such as fornication and impurity, licentiousness and idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, selfishness and slander, gossip and disorder. Quite a list there. Arrogance, unlike humility, is the work of the flesh. Whenever you hear or read the word flesh, it's more than just flesh we have here. Skin and bones, no? Flesh means, you know, our natural tendency. If the person lives without God, we become naturally this. That's the work of the flesh. It is self-seeking, and it puts self above others, and it promotes own interests before those of others. It says, no, I don't want that, to mutual submission. It does not obey God's truth. It simply cannot, because it does not pursue God's will. The end result of arrogance is wrath and fury from God, Romans 2:8 says. Now let's check it out. What signs can we see in a humble person or humility? Three things I could identify from today's reading, which is printed in your bulletin too. Number one is that humility considers others more important than yourself. Makes sense. Number two, humility always looks out for others' interests first, before your own. That's a tough one. The third one is humility is to submit to one another, each other. Let me tell you what humility is not, to begin with, okay? I would call it wrongly directed humility. I'm talking about self-imposed abasement. I'm sure some of you know someone else that this person always put himself or herself down. Or self-abasement. I don't think it's a true humility. I mean, true humility, I believe, never makes you believe or act like you are nobody or zero. Or it never makes you a doormat for everybody either. Now here's an example to consider. Think of Jesus, who claims that he was very humble, and he is humble. And his humility was not self-abasement, because he at times sounded outrageously arrogant. Now let me give you an example. If you read the gospel according to John chapter 14, you will see Jesus and the crowd, along with the religious leaders at the time, engaged in theological dialogue, where Jesus says, first of all, "I am equal to God." He said that. Also, he says that whoever has seen me has seen the God, the Father in heaven. So ordinary folks like that, what kind of blasphemous claims that he's making? They were so infuriated with Jesus that they wanted to stone him to death. Furthermore, he was not a wimp. When it comes down to confronting evils, do you remember the story? Jesus one day entered into the temple court and he made a whip himself and, you know, chased all these merchants and money changers and the animal sellers out of the temple, saying that you guys turned the house of God into the den of robbers when it should be the house of prayer. I don't see any image of a wimp here. Or when it comes down to, you know, dealing with hypocrisy, he wouldn't mind calling people, "Woe to you!" I've been a pastor for 20-some years, folks. If you ask me, "Have you ever used that word onto the hypocrites?" I said, "No, I know better than that." But he was not a wimp. He was rather like a roaring lion or even a champion of justice. But he was still humble. To me, humility is not self-imposed abasement. Rather, it is strength under control, guided by God's will and God's truth. I want you to think of it, the times and the society we are living in. In America today, humility is very hard to come by. Our society does not seem to consider humility a virtue. Our society rather promotes arrogance or even pride. Actually, we shouldn't be surprised because the Bible prophesied 2,000 years ago that in the end times, which I believe we are living, arrogance becomes prevalent. Actually, we see more and more people in our society who are filled with every kind of wickedness, may I say, evil and covetousness and malice and full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and craftiness. We also see more gossips and slanderers and God-haters. Seems like getting worse nowadays. People don't mind. I hate Christians. People who are insolent and haughty and boastful, inventors of evil and rebellious toward parents, foolish and faithless and heartless and ruthless. I'm just giving you the list of the things that predicted, prophesied in the Bible. In such time as this, God has called you and me to conduct our lives with godliness and humility. I thought about who's going to be our role model in this. And of course, Jesus is. Did you know that in Matthew 11:29, he calls you and me to learn directly from him when it comes down to humility? Listen, this is what he says. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart. Let us learn, therefore, from Christ, who being equal to God, yet did not regard himself equal with God. And let us learn from Christ, who emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. We call incarnation into the human flesh from divinity. Let us learn from Christ, who humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Let us learn from him by having the same mind in us that was in Christ Jesus. He is our role model. You know, I thought about why. Why do we need humility? Right? And three reasons I could identify in the Word of God. The first, number one is that why do we need humility? Because it is God's will for us. Arrogance is not. God commands us to humble ourselves in the presence of the Lord, then he will lift us up. Humility is particularly significant in our prayer life. If you take prayer life very seriously, take humility very seriously. Because every prayer requires humility. If you ask me, what is prayer, Pastor Choi? I would say, well, it's a conversation with God to begin with, but it's actually the act of having an audience with God, one-on-one. We cannot imagine ourselves going into God's presence with pompous attitude or even the attitude with entitlement. Oh, Lord, I deserve it. You better do it for me. You know that that's not right kind of prayer. Rather, in our prayer, we would show our utmost humility to the Almighty God before we even think of presenting our cases. Why do we need humility? Because it is God's will for us. The second thing, without humility, we simply cannot see God. Did you know what the Christ says? To enter the kingdom of God, you must be humble like what? A child. I think on this count, the rich and the mighty and the kings have a very great disadvantage. Why? Because they often trust not in God, but in their own strength and might and power and status and even money. And furthermore, when people put them on a pedestal, they tend to do. Great heroes, you know, mighty warriors, whatnot. It doesn't help them at all. It is very difficult for them to be humble. when people treat them otherwise. Perhaps that's why I believe Jesus says it is very difficult for the rich people to enter the kingdom of God. One thing I can think of is lack of humility. Remember, God is opposed to the arrogant. Arrogance belongs to the flesh, and the flesh itself refuses to obey God's truth. The third reason why we need humility is because humility brings forth the realizations of God's kingdom in our personal lives and in our families and in our church. Let me explain to you what I mean by that. To realize the kingdom of God amongst us, where God is the king and we are, you know, his servants, we need the mutual submission, and without the humility, you simply cannot do submit each other. How can you submit yourself to an individual when you think that yourself is better than that person? Simply can't. Now, if you ask me, Pastor Choi, so what's your definition of humility? I would say this. Humility is the quality of willing submission to God and to one another. The willing submission to God and to one another. I need to explain to you a little bit of the what's the meaning of the mutual submission. The closest one I could get is your own body. Think of your own body, human body, where all the members and the organs. Someone told me that we have over 200 bones in our body to begin with, and internal organs, and you have eyes and ears and whatnot, hands and, you know, toes and feet, all this. All of them work together in ultimate submission to the head or brain, if you will. Now, let me give you an example. Let's say this morning you decided to go to church, like you're sitting here. The first thing you do is just get into shower and wash and comb your hair and dress up yourself, all depending on our hands. Hands job. Hands job is over. Then next job is your feet take over. Let's go to church. Your feet take your whole body to the car, or some of them walk to the church. And all the rest of the body goes with them. All under the decision made by your brain. That's mutual submission to each other among the members and the organs, and in the ultimate submission to the head. Can you imagine the body with the mutiny against each other? You say, I want to go to church, but your feet refuse to take you to church and wouldn't move at all. I want to wash my face, and your hand says, no, I don't want to wash your face. It's a mutiny, isn't it? You know, if you just want to know what the basic nature of cancer, it's basically mutiny. Cancer says, I don't want to have anything to do with whatever the brain decision made. Okay? And I'm going to be on my own. I'm going to grow my own cell. That's basically mutiny. So it doesn't go well. Now, if you think of the human body, how well it goes around and functions well in mutual submission with the ultimate submission to the head, likewise, under the headship of Christ, with the members of Christ's body, submit to each other. The key word is submission. Willing submission to God and to Christ the head and to each other. What happens when we submit to each other? It brings forth unity, order and harmony in our family and in our church. Show me any family there's order and harmony and peace. I'll show you there's a mutual submission going on. And show me any family that has disorder and division and contention, and I'll show you there's one or two individuals always arrogant. Now, as for closing, I will say this. Live a life worthy of God's calling that would make God proud of us. Live a life with a humility and gentleness, and let us clothe ourselves with Christ's humility, and let us start living it out today. Let's bow our heads and pray. Christ was humble. And he invites us to learn from him, because he's gentle and humble in heart. So how can we learn from you? And we have some signs of humility. says that consider others more important than yourself, a good one to practice. And the second one is that look out the interests of others first before you do your own. And third thing is that submit to each other. What a great lessons, great principles for us to follow, Lord. Help us to grow in Christ every single day by practicing the humility in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.